the 30 things that he says that is scattered throughout, and then he mentioned the place. So we are scattered. I came from Texas, you guys are here in California, and our brother, he came from Alaska, and we are scattered, but we are still the body of Christ. We are scattered with a purpose. God put church and Christians everywhere for a purpose, because he said that we are the light of this world. And then we are the salt of this earth. And God put us, and sometimes you might feel isolated. Sometimes you might feel by yourself. But it's God's plan. You are not by yourself, because his spirit is always with you. This church is not, oh, we are just here in Placerville. No, God planted you here for a purpose, and you are fulfilling his purpose, even if you don't think you are. This past 2.5 years has been a very difficult time for the world. The church has been tried, has been put to test. Our faith has been put to test, and our trust in God, our capacity of be still and know that God is God, is being put to test. We have gone through a lot of things, and the result is we are tired. And many people are tired, and we should be, because what we have gone through this past 2.5 years is unprecedented for our generation. And we are tired, and we are just, can this pass? Hey, Jesus, can you speed up this a little bit here, because we need a break, and every time it seems that we are getting a break, there is something new. And what used to be is not anymore. Everything changed and is new. And we have to adapt to this way, this is not work. You can't say this anymore, and you can, but the Lord is being working. At Mercy Ships has not been different. Our ships that was in Senegal providing surgery, witnessed the love of God to the people in Senegal, had to be moved to a safe harbor and stop all the surgeries, and people that was waiting to receive a surgery could not receive a surgery, and broke the heart of our doctors and nurses, because we had to move to another place. And during this time, we had to create all this protocol. We wanted to go back as soon as possible, and we tried one time and didn't work, and we tried the other time, didn't work. We thought, looks like 10,000 times we want to go back to Africa and help the people. But time after time, we had to reconvene, think things through, make a new plan. And people bought their tickets, ready to go. Oh, you can't go. And other people, hey, we really desperate, needing you. Okay, I go. Oh, sorry, can you wait a little bit more? Can you wait a month? But I already did this, did that. I got the time off from my work. And all these things we went through. But finally, last February, our ship went back to Africa and is there now. And we go and we see people waiting for us, the government waiting for us, and we are there now, finally. But not without so much difficult. All the protocols and having mask. If you wanted to travel internationally, I traveled in February. I don't want to travel anymore. It was so hard. Having a mask the whole time and you can't travel without a vaccination, and you have a choice. If you don't want to take a vaccine, it's fine. You just don't travel because have to test. And I was tested probably 5 times, 1 leg. And had to have a card. Actually, I have a card here in me. However, that's for God. And that's the price that I needed to pay in order that people will know God, will receive the surgery that they need. If that's the price, I'm willing to pay the price, because our Lord Jesus Christ didn't measure anything to pay the price for us. I like to show a video now.
One day there'll be no more waiting left for our souls. One day there'll be no more children longing for home. One day when the kingdom comes right here where we stand, we will see the promised land. Yeah.
Yeah, one of this past week I was I had a meeting with the chaplain for the patient, and we do have chaplains that goes and help the patient, because what is happening is I think I still need help here with this microphone. Okay, we are in business now. it's not just us getting to a port and advertising people coming, we can do surgeries. There is a lot that happens for them, for that patients to come to the hospital. And number one, they need to know that the surgery is available. And we work with the government, and they make announcements. And sometimes we do announcements in the radio. And also, we may send teams inside of the country. And it's amazing how God is using technology. And one of the technology they are using is the cell phone. And when the teams are out there and in the communities, and then they can see somebody and take a picture, and then the doctor will say, oh, yes, this is a good candidate, and do a review there with the far away with the technology. And when they come, and then we have a screening time where the patient, the medical group will come and check them and say, yes, we can do this surgery. And sometimes, and this happened a lot in cases of children, if they come in malnourished, and then sometimes we need to bring them nourishment first so they be strong, so they will sustain and be able to receive the surgery. And I was talking to the chaplain, Clementine, and our chaplains, they are all Africans, and then we have the translators. most of the translators, especially where we are in Senegal, they are Muslim, and but they are the translators because people speak several languages. And I was talking to her, and she was talking about those that we can help, but also those that we cannot help. What about that is all this expectation brewing out, I'm going, having this surgery. And a good example that was Zachary. Zachary was a small boy that when he was born, soon his mother started to see that he could not see, that he had a cataract. But also she knew that his older brother had already that was also in the same situation, had cataract and who could not see. And this little boy, Zachary, he was very active, and he wants to do the same thing the other children do. He was very active, but he even wanted to play soccer without even seeing the soccer ball. And that mother was without hope. And she desire, like every mother, every father, we desire the best for our children. And we wanted them to have the best. And but there was no hope for them. And when the mercy ships came and she found out that they could do the surgery, and they brought both boys there, and they checked both boys, and they found out that the older boy could not receive a surgery. He had been blind with the cataract for so long that was too risky, too dangerous. And they could not. However, they could do this for Zachary. And he was happy. And then you have this, one can have surgery and the other one cannot have surgery. And that's where the chaplains come and to talk through them and to go through their emotional pain. And also preparing them to go back to their place and to their village. And this, but in Zachary's case, he was counting the days. And then he would go back to his mother. When is the surgery? When can I go take this thing from my eye? That's what he would say. And then every day he was counting the days until the day that he was able to go and the surgery for cataract don't take long. And they did the surgery. The next day he was able to go back home and then came 6 days later for a check and everything went well. And then this Zachary was coming back a month later just for the celebration of vision. But the chaplains has to come along those that will receive a surgery and those that we cannot receive us, we cannot provide a surgery. And for the medical people, that is the hardest, is not being able to help somebody. And over we see God working and providing this life, and we see people coming to the ship, and that's one of the amazing things, because people come normally ashamed, and people that has big tumors, and they put, and especially the ladies, they put some kind of cloth in front so people don't see. People that have cataract are blind, or those children that are born and malnourished, and then they have a bow legs and all kind of things that would be easily taken care over here. And we see them sad, ashamed, and not worthy. And then when they go, and through the love of God, and they get this surgery, and then when they come, you see them with a whole new perspective in life. They come with a smile. They come back with a hope for the healing that they receive. And they, throughout the time that people were on board the ship, they exposed it to the gospel. So the chaplain Clementine told me a story about this lady, and was in a Muslim country, and we do have Bibles in several languages on board. However, we don't give it to the patient. However, if the patient asks for a Bible, we'll give them the Bible because they asked for. So there was this patient, and she was, every time we had a community gathering, and she was there, and she was very interested in asking questions to the chaplain, and she wanted the Bible. But she said, no, I can't get the Bible because my mother-in-law is here. And her mother-in-law was Muslim as well. And okay, it's all right, we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord will do. You want a Bible, but you can't have the Bible. But let's pray and let's see what God will do. And they prayed, and throughout the time, one day, the mother-in-law came to the chaplain and said, I would like to have a Bible. And they were able to give a Bible to the lady and to the mother-in-law. And that's how God is working and making some fantastic things. And that we are seeing people really receiving hope and healing. And healing for their bodies, they need to have, they have the needs for their body, but also a healing for their soul. And a lot of time we don't get to see the end product. We know that God is working. And talking to Clementine, she said, the Muslims are open to God. They want to know this Jesus Christ. And I hear this story, and it was really fantastic, because a lot of time we need to be the gospel. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be the gospel. When you talk, they're listening, God speaking to them. When they see you, they see the word of God. They see God's spirit. And they were taking care of the patients, and one of the translators came to one of the leaders and said, of the chaplains, and said, listen, can you teach me to be like them? This is a Muslim guy, translator, come and say, can you teach me how to be like them? I want to be, I have to have the same thing that they have. Teach me that. And because they when they speak to the patient, they have this special things coming out. I want that as well. And it's the Holy Spirit coming through, talking and touch people in a way that we don't see. In a way that pleases the heart of the Father. And God looked down and see their healing and see what we are doing and see how people is coming out. And through their physical healing, they are touched by the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing to see how God is working all these countries. Senegal is, I think, is 95% Muslim. And another 4% is animist. And then you have a 0.5% Christians. And being able to go to this place where other missionaries cannot go, and they know that we are Christians, but they invite us because that's how God has enabled us to go and share His love to those in need. It's been quite interesting time with Mercy Ships, because we build a new ship. So we have a ship that we've been using for about 20 years, and it's an older ship. All our ships were older ships that we bought, and then we transform it into a hospital ship. But for the first time, and I'm an engineer, I was one of those that dream for a new ship. I don't like old ship. Old ship, old house, old car, it's all the same. Always need something to be done on it. And so always, I remember being on the first Mercy ship, like, it would be so nice if you can build a ship that is a hospital ship. Everything, we don't have to be modifying here, changing here, take this bulkhead from here, and all these kind of things. And God enabled us to build this new ship. And we built this new ship, and was supposed to be ready in 3 years, but took 6. And and this new ship, the ship that we have now, just for you to have a perspective, is a 16,000 ton. So 16,000 ton ship, the side of the ship. The new ship is 37,000 tons. So we are going from 15 to 37,000 tons. I had the privilege of going to the new ship in February, and then when I walk, I was like, unbelievable. It is a state-of-the-art hospital, 200 beds for the patients, and six surgical units, and they can have surgery, six surgeries going at the same time. And one of the beautiful, a lot of things they build because there is so much need in Africa that we have work for both ships to work there for a long time. And so a lot of things on the ship, especially on the patient side, is done with how Africans live. And one of the things in the infirmary, you see the bed, but underneath the bed, there is another bed. Because the patients go there, and they always bring somebody, and then they can sleep on the knees. So they can stay there, and so everything is just fantastic. I enjoy ships. I've been around the ships since I was 17, and all my life, and God has put me to work at ship, and I have this privilege of working something that I really like, that ship, but is being mission at the same time. And the other area that I like is training, and I'm doing the three things that I like the most. And that is amazing how God allowed this to happen in our lives. But this new ship is being equipped right now. It's in the Canary Island, and in January we go to Africa. And that will be amazing how many more people will be able to help and share the love of God to them in a practical way. Just a little bit about myself. About three years ago, my wife passed. We were married for 38 and a half years. And she was with me throughout all this journey. And was very difficult. And still, God bringing healing, and I know that some people from the church were praying for us. So, but that create a process of changing in my life. Suddenly, when you lose somebody so close to you, your perspective about life changes a little bit. And then we started to see life as more fragile. And start to be willing to be more purposeful. And then I can see this in my life, in the purpose that what God wants for me. And also looking into this new generation that is coming before me. How can I equip this new generation for them? How do I pass the torch? So how do I pass the torch? What do I have to offer? What do I have to say to this new generation that's coming? And then we can see that each of you here also has the same mandate. And the Bible, if you go there and you see so many verses that is talking about one generation guiding another generation, the next generation. And that is we can just say, Jesus come because it's really hard. When I say that, I'm not thinking about the generation because I don't have any power to make God go faster or slower or anything. God will go in his pace, and I try. And his pace is his pace. But I can't think, oh, Jesus needed to come. And sometimes the enemy wants likes that because then he paralyzes you. Oh, it is like you have your car and need to do some thinking, but you want to sell your car. Oh, I'm not to do this because I'm selling the car or improving something. But then you keep using the car, and then the car goes worse and worse and worse. And so we need to be proactive, and that's what the Lord is putting in my heart, to be proactive in how can pray for this new generation that is coming and getting the torch. Because the gospel will continue if I'm here or not. And how can I pray for them? But how can I get involved? And God is giving several opportunities to mentor some younger, mostly men, that's coming and behind. And we, as a church, have to look into the new generation. And we have seen done in a wrong way. Oh, we needed to get new people here. And sometimes we are pushing the old ones out. But that's not the purpose. The church is, we need to mingle them and giving them opportunity to be praying and giving a inviting them. Inviting people. I was talking, I think it was with Clay that I was talking, that I had a pastor that said, people go where they are invited and stay where they are welcomed. So we needed to invite, come and join us. Let's do this. Let's do that. So this is something that the Lord is putting in my life in the next stage. In Texas, I had a house, it was a big house, and I had an empty lot. When I bought the house, I never thought about it. The house was a one lot, but was exactly two lots in one, and I was able to sell my house and build a smaller, more efficient house. So I moved to the new house in March, and but at the same time that my daughter bought her house and moved, so I'm there and preparing. So there is a lot of change in our life. The only thing that changes is the work. Man, that is so much work. And like, Lord, hey, I want to retire, Lord. But there is so much that we've been doing, and it looks like the needs is always, but that is great, because the more needs we have, you see, is because God is working. It's kind of a conveyor belt. Is the more is coming is because God is really inputting there and showing all these opportunities in front of you. And so I don't have time for that. It's too much. But it's just God putting this opportunity in front of us so we can serve him with happiness. And that's what he wants us to do, is to continue to serve him, continue to lift up his name and be engaged. And any challenge is an opportunity. Any challenge is an opportunity. Any challenge is an opportunity to see God coming and doing something new and different, like the story that was the challenge was the mother-in-law. Suddenly the mother-in-law becomes the answer to the problem. And that's how God works. The challenge in front of you is the answer that God has. And we need to be able and renew our strength, renew and encourage. We live the hardest time. We need to encourage ourselves. There is a verse in the Bible that David, it says that David didn't have anybody to encourage him. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's the time you need to encourage, and the issues with our children, the issue with our grandchildren. And then we encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we look to the Lord and continue in Him. I would like to give opportunity for any questions. I know that a lot of time people have questions, maybe sometimes not. But I would like to give opportunities if there is any question, anything that you would like to know. Dan already asked if I have anything in mind concerning marriage, and I said no, not yet. So you skip that question. We are working specifically in Africa. Africa is a huge continent, and we've been focusing a lot on the West Africa, but there is several areas in Africa that we would like to go. One of our ships probably going back to Madagascar. We've been there several times, but right now, we are concentrating in Africa.
How far inland do you draw patients from? Do your teams go quite a ways
inland? Yes, they go far away. Most of the patient is for, because that's one of the things, is a lot of the population are close to the ports at the sea. But they yeah, they send words, and people can come really from far away. One of the things that we do is because our ship goes and stay 9, 10 months in a country, in a port. So one thing that we do is we create this, what we call the Hope Center. Hope Center is a place, can be a hospital that we remodel, or even a warehouse that we equip. It's basically a big guest house and big infirmary, so that the patients can come and stay there. So if they come from far away, they have a place to stay with the people that brought them. But also, if they receive a surgery and we don't want them to go back to their village because of a contamination, depend on the type of surgery, they can go to the Hope Center to recover, so they is easily to making sure that they have no infection and all these kind of things. I don't know much. I'm an engineer, just put oil there and keep the engine and gas, it works fine.
You were telling me that there's people that may notice someone with a tumor or something, and they can take pictures, send to the doctor, and say, is this treatable? And they have kind of runners on the ground.
Yes, and many times our teams, because sometimes we need to bring a patient far away inland on the other place, and there was a time that this team went to bring a patient, when coming back and stopped, and then somebody started to talk to them and said, hey, there is so-and-so, that there is this tumor. Oh, show me this person. And they were looking, searching, and found this man that had this big tumor, and then gave him a card. Just go to the ship and go there, and then the doctor will see what they can do for you. And he came and got the surgery.
And then you were telling me, you can say it. So you're there for 9 months, and so you try to do the bigger surgeries first. As you're leaving port, you don't want those to have complications. So those ones, towards the end of the 9 months, you have the smaller cataracts or different smaller surgeries.
Yeah, some surgery, especially the tumor, requires several surgeries. Because when somebody has a tumor in their face, one of the problems with the tumor in the face is that they slowly choking that person to death. If the tumor is not taken out, they eventually will die. Not for the tumor, but because that choke. And it will change all your maxillofacial structure, and then you need to take that tumor and do several reconstruction surgeries. And depending on how difficult it is, so they normally plan that when the ship leaves, nobody needs that to receive a surgery, needed that the care from the ship, because we'll be gone.
I had a question about, I guess, how the gospel is shared with the patients. I'm wondering if they kind of grasp the motivation behind everyone working on that ship. Is it explicitly said, like, we're doing this because we love you and this is like God's mission for us? Or is it kind of like they see it through the work itself?
That's a very interesting question, because when we do is an expression of God's love. And the expression of the God the Father. And when, as you said, when somebody comes and receives a surgery, is taken care of, they see the spirit behind the body. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what transforms people. Is not necessarily how eloquent I am or how skillful I am, but it's God's spirit to come and touch. And I think we were reading this morning in our Sunday school about the Holy Spirit come, and Clay said he was amazing of this tongue of fire and all these things. Sometimes I forget that God can go there and enter somebody's life and do something that I don't even understand. And I'll bring back the example of this mother-in-law, that God was working also in that woman the same the way that was working the patient, and bring us to think of more highly about God and His power. Is when we are doing something, I have to believe that God's power, the same power that Jesus came and said, be healed, or get up, get to your bed, and walk. He can do the same using us. And is a different level that the Lord wants us to walk with Him. Believing, but acting. I'm acting because I'm believing, but I'm believing because I'm acting. So, yes, that is, it's hard to say because we don't know the heart, but we do know that they first they become intrigued for this God that we serve, and then they become intrigued and curious about this God, and but then they want to have that. It's something so fabulous, so amazing. They want that. Now, how God will work in their lives. So the patients, they are exposed not to preaching, but they are exposed to God's power. And when the patients so are waiting, we have several videos, the Jesus film, there is several other videos, and they are translating all kind of language. So they are watching that. And we have a service that they are free to come. So they are exposed to the gospel. They have this kind of inductive way of preaching the gospel. It's something because they tell the story, and they tell the story, and the Muslim, they know the prophets. So there is several ways of it's basically we need to think outside the box. I do have my box. And my box, everything needs to fit perfectly. And God sometimes come and say, okay, let me do something different. So yes, sometimes they come and ask, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they want to hear more, and sometimes they don't. But we have seen, and we don't advertise people that got saved, because that could stop us to go there at all. So when you go on our website, you're gonna see all the surgeries, but not because, hey, we are in a 95% Muslim country. that's a great question. We see and we know by the Spirit how God touched that life. Yes, they see. They see the difference. And they see because they... I told the story of the the translator that wanted to be taught to be like those. Basically, is because in their way, they are doing something, and then they get to help because they did. So that's how the animist and the Muslim thing is, the more I do for God, more I get space in heaven. And so it's by God's grace. And then I'm not doing that so I can be saved. So, and then they catch that. One more question. I think our time is getting close because the children are here.
So you had mentioned about the Hope House. And is that also open only 9 months, or is that open like year round? Like,
well, they are.
And the second part of that is, who follows up with those that have asked for Bibles or want to convert from Muslim to Christianity? Is there somebody still on the ground to help them navigate that?
Yeah. So the Hope Center is only during the time that we are there. So it's a support place to support the people getting the surgery. When we are in the country, we are in contact because there are other missionaries in place, and there are some churches and things like that. So we are in contact with the existing church because we will be leaving, and then to follow up with them. That's a great question. Did you have a question? Where I come from originally, I didn't say I come from Brazil. Okay. I came from the most exciting town in the world, Rio de Janeiro. You need to go there. I love that city. I want to go back there. And I go back there anytime I have a chance.
I thought it was a Texas accent.
Yes. You all know where I come from. Thank you so very much. It's always a pleasure to be here. I know that I spoke a lot from my heart. And I get excited when I speak about the things about the kingdom of God. I get a little bit nervous because sometimes as Christians we are a little bit masochist. We like to talk about the bad stuff. Everything is going bad. Yes. I like to see what my God is doing. And he is doing amazing things. And he's preparing this church for amazing things. So this time of shrinking and is a time of refining. You know, it's a time of refining. He's refining this church for something amazing. And the thing is, might not be the way that I think should be. Thanks so much, and may God bless you.
After listening to that, we know that God is a chain breaker. He can loosen and break those chains. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the right of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out by the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. You believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. You believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. Testify, you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving. He's a prison chicken savior. You got chains. He's a chain breaker. You need freedom or saving. He's a prison chicken savior. You got chains. He's a chain breaker.
Lord, thank you that you are a chain breaker, Lord God, and we have freedom in you, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful things you are doing through Mercy Ships, Lord, and healing those people.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that your spirit would just draw them to you, Lord. We know it's a Muslim nation, but you're the one who's in charge, Lord God, and you can draw their hearts to you and grant them repentance, and I pray that you do. And I pray as we go through our week this week, Lord, that you would just be with us and strengthen us.
Yes.
And help us to be lights, Lord, to those around us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
There are some brochures.